Hello, my name is Mike Diedrich, and I'm with the Veterans for Peace Daniel Ellsberg Chapter 92 radio program here in Seattle. It's broadcast on KODX 96.9 and also archived on VFP92.org. All of our audio broadcasts for at least the last 2 years, we've been doing this for over 2 years, are on the radio station's broadcast archives plus VFP92.org. Okay, today we're going to be talking about the Blue Angels and the people's reactions to it in particular. With me today, in addition to myself, I'm a Vietnam veteran and have some visceral sort of experience with Blue Angels and jet aircraft in Vietnam. But also with me is Dan Gilman, who is president of VFP92 at the moment.
Kim Hunter,
and then also Mary Coogan Patterson, excuse me. So I'm going to start off the sort of commentary with Mary Coogan Patterson, who is a member of among other things, the Say No to Blue Angels Coalition. So go ahead, Mary.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm Mary, and I'm a volunteer with 350 Seattle, the local chapter of the National and International Climate Justice Organization, 350 Seattle. As such, I'm a member of the Airshow Climate Action Coalition here in the greater Seattle area, alongside Veterans for Peace, Daniel Ellsberg chapter, and many others: Extinction Rebellion, Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, Resist US-Led War Seattle. These are all members of the Airshow Climate Action Coalition. And we organized the protest, the campaign to end the Blue Angels air show in Seattle. We've done that for the last 3 years.
Were you involved in that production or the billboard down in Rainier Valley?
We sure were. That was part of our campaign this year. And the first time we did a billboard was actually suggested to us by a friend from Ground Zero for Nonviolent Action over in Poulsbo on the Kitsap Peninsula, where the eight of the nation's 14 Trident submarines are located, nuclear warhead missile submarines. And they suggested, because they're doing billboards, that we might want to do a billboard. So we jumped into it and did a billboard that got a lot of media attention.
Was that Glenn Milner?
That was Glenn Milner.
Yeah.
That's right. He worked with us. He was a great guide in navigating the process of creating the billboard with the billboard company, which was also really good to work with.
Yeah, Glenn Milner is a longtime activist. I knew him with Seattle Draft and Military Counseling Center going back 30 years, really. But anyway, so what are the considerations for why would you be opposed to the Blue Angels?
Well, I'm sure that Dan Gilman here on the call will also talk to it, but it was a really interesting process within the coalition to come up with our unified message, because we all come to it with different emphases. But the unified message that we created for this year's campaign was that we oppose the Blue Angels for three reasons: health, climate, and militarism. Bad for local health, a unnecessary and gratuitous source of significant carbon emissions in a time of too much war in the world and a genocide in Gaza. So we said, for these three reasons: too much militarism, U.S. militarism, a climate crisis, and communities negatively impacted by aviation already being subjected to more pollution with the Blue Angels show. For these three reasons, we are calling on the City of Seattle and the Seafair Board, which is the board that contracts with the U.S. Navy every year to do this air show, to say no more Blue Angels. Let this be the last year.
So has there been any sort of response from the Seafair?
Yeah, and now we're not talking just about the billboard, but this being our third year. And really interestingly, the billboard was the one and only thing in our campaign this year that did get media attention. Our actual protest on the second of 3 days of the air show got no media attention. I think that's by design myself. But the billboard got a lot of attention, and the Seafair board president, her name is Emily Cantrell, actually was interviewed on at least one of the broadcast news stories about the billboard. And, you know, we ourselves have met with the Seafair board twice, I believe, once to give a full presentation and another time just to talk. The Seafair board has heard our concerns, which are grounded in fact and reason and health. And they still say, we're going ahead with it. They say, we've already arranged for the Blue Angels to come again in 2026. And we're not reconsidering that. So that's their response so far.
So who's the board made of? Do you have those people? I mean, what are their associations? Are they officials? I mean, public officials otherwise?
No, they're not public officials as far as I know. This is a really interesting question, and it's critical to understanding why Seafair has the power that it does in our area. First disclaimer is that Seafair is 5 weeks long in Seattle. It contains many events like a triathlon and a 5K and a July 4th celebration, as well as Fleet Week out on the saltwater, on the Sound, when the Navy ships come in, just one or two of them now. It's been reduced in size so much. And the air show comes at the end of Seafair. And it's the air show that we're saying no more, no mas, no military air shows in Seattle. Only the air show is the subject of our appeal. But who makes the decisions? And this is why we're up against so much. On the Seafair board are representatives of the Boeing company, which is huge in our area.
Wow.
The Boeing company that makes not only commercial aircraft, as we all know, but about half of its contracts are military, contracts. And not just with the airplanes themselves, the jets themselves, but with other things contributing to U.S. military globally. So
like drones and missiles.
Pardon?
Drones and missiles.
Yes, and these new devices that can be attached to, I think, old missiles and old bombs that direct them, and Dan probably has the correct term for this, but increases the ability of the missiles and bombs to be targeted. So not only that, but some of the commercial planes, or at least one of them, can be outfitted to become a military plane. So anyway, that's
Boeing company is one of the major people on the board. Representative of Boeing. Who are the other? Some of the others.
Alaska Airlines is represented. Yes, I'm trying to remember some of the other on the board itself. I know that in the Seafair, either on the board or on its executive committee, are members of the U.S. Navy. We met with one of them in particular, whose name I'm not remembering at the moment, and he may or may not still be working with Seafair. Very interestingly, this is so crazy in a way, this year, you know, Seafair, which is the 5 week long celebration throughout Seattle, has a king and a queen. Or I think they may have different terms for them. This year, the queen, or the Seafair, one of the partners in the king and queen, in the old king and queen pair, is the former police chief of the city of Seattle, who's no longer the police chief and no longer on the force, but she became one of the Seafair leads this year. So I don't know. I wonder if Dan can remember any of the other people on the Seafair board or the Seafair Executive Committee, that we've got the U.S. Navy, Boeing, Alaska Airlines.
I haven't looked at the list for quite a while, but yeah, I mean, Boeing is the main overall sponsor of Seafair and contributes lots and lots of the money to Seafair. And of course, you know, here in Wallingford, where I live, they have the kiddies.
The reason I'm asking the question, Mary and Dan, is that would it be useful to actually target these people individually about this and make it a little bit more personal? So we probably know those names. Getting back to the protest for No Blue Angels, Dan and I were interviewed by Bridget Chavez of King FM, not King FM, but King TV. And just as a comment about it quickly from my perspective, is that it, as far as I know, this is the first time that veterans have been interviewed about their opinions on the Blue Angels. There might have been some sort of odd things, but they actually went out of their way. And I think it's because of the publicity surrounding the billboard, they were prompted to actually interview Dan and then me also. And that was actually, you can go to King FM and we will put that actually, that link on VFP92.org. But why don't you make some comments about that interview and how that was received, Dan?
Okay, well, it's was something I didn't even get to prepare for. From the time I talked to the journalist, it was 15 minutes before they were at my house. So I was really speaking off the top of my head, but you know, the theme was, you know, how do you view the Blue Angels and what's the impact for you as a veteran? And so I remember vividly while in Vietnam, while I wasn't in combat areas, I would hear the jets screaming over the base that I was located on. And, you know, they're very, very noisy. And hearing the impact of them releasing their bombs, who knows where. And I didn't really know where or what they were really up to when I was over there in the war, because I was on a huge base that really didn't impact myself. I was a medic and worked in a clinic. So in a way, if I would have been home in the States and watching TV, I'd have been know more what was happening. But it was not until I got home from the war when I started listening to the anti-war movement and veterans who had turned against the war that I began to understand what was going on and why were we in that war. And I began to understand that the war was wrong. The war was unjustified. It was not necessary. It was a war of choice that we made. And while I didn't come out with what's called PTSD, once I understood what I was involved in and what these jets were doing that were flying overhead, I understood, and there's a name for it, and it's called moral injury. And that's where you understand that the values that you have, the ethics that you subscribe to, had been grossly violated. So when I got back and saw the TV footage, when I started watching documentaries, while I saw a lot of the Vietnam movies, it really hit home to me that it was something that really devastated the country, the environment, but mostly impacted the civilians, that we just killed millions and millions of civilians through what we were doing over there. And so hearing the Blue Angels reminds me of that war in Vietnam and the tragedy that we visited on that country and the civilians. So it's a feeling of regret and sadness and disappointment and all sorts of feelings that just, while the Jets are here in Seattle, just are really take a toll on how I'm feeling and as it just reminds me of what went on there. So that's what I spoke to in the interview, and there's a few other things, but we might want to stay on that. I know you, Mike, had different impacts related to your PTSD, right, from the Jets? You're muted, Mike.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I was interviewed not too long after you, and with the same sort of short notice, I ended up in the South Seattle, just right in front of the billboard, the Blue Angel billboard, and Bridget Chavez of King Radio or King King Five. Bridget Chavez TV, and I showed up with just had time enough to put my VFP vest on, and I had some medals and something for the camera. So my experience was with the combat aircraft was pretty some of it anyway was pretty visceral, and that's one of the things that triggers me. I was witness with a couple of hundred other guys who were in my company, and when we were locked down during May offensive in 1968, and May 7th, and the village next to us, which was a sort of a refugee village, was attacked by jets, helicopter gunships, thunderbolts, and actually was napalm, white phosphorus, 250 and 500 pound bombs, and they just literally blew that village apart. And we estimated that about 200 civilians were killed. And it's kind of interesting, Kim, you'd mentioned about there was absolutely no record about some things. I went and I was in military intelligence, and I went to a list of actions, which are called situation reports, that are supposed to be typed up and available to all intelligence units. And since this was involved a lot of aircraft and a lot of death, I thought that there would actually be some sort of a record of it. MACV, which was my parent organization, they didn't have any record of it, or they chose not to make a record of it. But there was a lot of fighting in Cholon where I was, Saigon, but there was no record of it. The thing that triggered me particularly, I hate to use the word triggered, but it's the default word these days, was the fact that these villagers the ones that had survived, they came to us because we knew them. We interacted with them daily. And they came to us trying to get some help, the ones that were wounded and some of the ones that were dead. And we couldn't help them. Our medic didn't have any morphine, so the ones that were wounded just sat there in our inside of our barracks there and died some very, very visceral and tragic and ugly deaths, one girl in particular. So that's what I associate with the Blue Angels. He says that what they are combat aircraft. Their business is to blow things up and kill people. And that's my association with it. And actually, you know, when I see them flying, I see them actually, I remember viscerally that sort of experience with the attack on the village. But also, it's like hearing the sound, it's actually a visceral in the sense that it gets inside me almost. It not only makes me a little jumpy, but it's something that it's visceral means actually getting inside you, and it's an intense sort of reaction, and there's nothing I can do about it. I usually try and get out of town, or when I had a dog, I typically put the dog in the car and drive up and down I-5, or go hide out in the Blue Moon. But anyway, so it's and I'm not the only one that has this sort of reaction. Mine might be a little bit more precise and intense than some, but every veteran's got who's been in the military and been around combat jet aircraft has got similar sort of experiences. I know that you mentioned, Kim, that you had some similar sort of experiences with aircraft and what that reminded you, what the Blue Angels reminded you of. Go ahead.
Yes, I can certainly chime in here. I'd like the audience to know that my father was a career naval aviator. So I spent all my my childhood and adolescent years living on or near a naval air station. So I'm very well aware of what that means for people who have to deal with this sort of nuisance every day. I especially remember at Moffett Field near Mountain View, California. We were stationed very close to the base, and we were right in the path of the takeoff of all these planes. And I was 14 and 15 years old, and I thought it was really cool that all these jet planes were flying overhead. They were so noisy. And at nighttime, I remember going out and watching them take off with the huge afterburners and to give them extra propulsion. And that made them even twice as noisy. It was just a roaring sound. It just kind of almost, you know, it entered your head. And I thought it was great. I was a 15-year-old kid, and every now and then we'd hear a sonic boom. Now, the planes weren't supposed to travel over the speed of sound in near any populated area, but sometimes they did anyway. And my understanding is there weren't really any consequences for that. So we'd hear this tremendous boom, and I thought that was great too as a kid. And drove the dog bonkers, and I thought that was funny. And, you know, and looking back at it, I think what a nuisance it was for the people who had to live in that all the time. Well, to me, that was my culture. That was my society, and I didn't know the difference. But then one incident occurred that caused me to change, and that was when a jet airplane crashed near landing or takeoff, I don't remember which, at Moffett Field. And it took out a house the house was completely destroyed. And I remember that because I was sitting in my high school classroom, and one of the boys in the class, who was the son of a Hungarian refugee who had fought for freedom in the late 50s in Hungary, had escaped to the U.S. to the land of freedom. And he was called to the principal's office. And we all looked around, because if you get called to the principal's office, that means either you did something really bad or something really bad happened at home. Well, he and his brother were called to the principal's office, and we never saw them again, because it turns out that that plane that crashed hit their house and killed both their parents instantly. And we don't know what happened to them. That's a sad and tragic story that shows another risk that associated with it. But even more more sad is I tried to find out the history of that by combing through the online, because you can find out so much about so many things. And the only accident, because that was a real human interest story, the sadness of a couple of Hungarian freedom fighters coming over here and tragically losing their lives from an airplane that was supposedly built to protect our freedom. But there was no, there's, it's like the incident was erased. The only thing I could find was an accident that happened December 2nd, 1961, on a plane that crashed near Moffett Field. I don't know for a certainty that that was the plane crash, but that's the only one I could find in that time frame near Moffett Field. And the conclusion of artificial intelligence, after looking at all the resources, is that yes, the plane did crash near Moffett Field. Fortunately, there were no fatalities associated with this incident, and the sole occupant of the aircraft survived. And that fits with my recollection that the occupant ejected, but there's nothing. It was like, it's not even a foothold of home. It's not even a footnote in history. These two poor folks died from a plane crash accident, and there's no, the history has been erased. There's nothing, absolutely nothing anywhere recording that. And I think that goes to another problem here, is that the Blue Angels are set up for good publicity. And that's, they'll acknowledge that's why they do it. It's great recruiting tool. And so they will glorify the excitement and the glamour of these planes flying in close formation, making lots of noise. But nobody wants to talk about all the people that die, those that are killed intentionally during the war, and those tragic accidents like I just told you about. And nobody wants to talk about all the property destruction. And as Mike said, that's what they're for. That's their main purpose. This Blue Angels, show is just a sideshow, really, and it does really have nothing to do with what those planes are for. They're not to entertain; they're to kill, and that's why it's what's wrong with this, because it is designed to recruit people, to glamorize the military, to recruit people into the military, hopefully to become pilots, and to glamorize our military culture, to glamorize that. So I went to, spent two tours in Vietnam myself. I also suffered moral injuries. I saw firsthand what our planes were doing over there. So I'm adamantly opposed as well to Blue Angels being used for entertainment.
Yeah.
That was an amazing story. That was an amazing story. Can I just jump in a little bit, Mike? So much that you conveyed there, Cam, and an amazing story, because I think there was also an accident and fatality, maybe just one in this case, just north of Seattle in Kenmore, where some VFP members, local VFP members live. And that was some years ago too. But the pattern of sanitization and glamorization of our military in general is really noticeable in the case of the Blue Angels. I mean, from what I learned in the campaign this year here locally, the Blue Angels are actually painted blue and yellow. Like, they're not in combat. They're not these pretty planes that do amazing technological tricks. They are, as Dan said in that King 5 interview, what most people don't know, these are fighter attack jets that are built to destroy and kill. And this is what we're glamorizing at the military air shows across the country. We're making it look pretty, which is so hypocritical. I mean, even if you believe that the U.S. military should have at least 800 bases in 80 countries out of approximately 200 around the globe, even if you support the U.S. empire, the U.S. military empire, in your view of a foreign policy, why would you want it to be made to look pretty? I mean, you have to admit that the U.S. military dominance globally is not a pretty thing. It actually has negative environmental impacts globally. It's a huge consumer of fossil fuels. It's a huge emitter of carbon globally. you know, admit these things and say, yes, but this is the, quote, price of freedom. It shouldn't be made to look pretty. And we shouldn't be sanitizing its impact globally or even domestically in terms of injury, moral injury, which I learned about from Dan for the first time. I knew about PTSD in the military vets locally. Here's another story to add to the ones that you told, and it's anecdotal, but our veterans VA hospital here in Seattle is on Beacon Hill, which is on the flight path for the Blue Angels. Can you imagine? Veterans who are hospitalized there are the ones with PTSD are, from what I've heard, they're often on the top floor of the hospital so that they can look out to the mountains that Seattle is surrounded by, the Cascades on the west, excuse me, the Cascades on the east and the Olympic Mountains on the west. They look out and it's natural beauty that is meant to help them with their PTSD. But then it makes them all the more vulnerable when the Blue Angels fly, not only on the 3 days of the air show, but on the practice flights. And the story is, and it's anecdotal because the hospital, I'm sure, isn't really allowed to talk to us. But the story is that they move the vets down to the lower floors or the basement floor during the that 5 days of air show practice and performance. Just to avoid that re-traumatization, that triggering, as you said, Mike, an unfortunate metaphor, but that of the visceral responses, the visceral the stress that they experience. So yeah, I just wanted to second that point you're making, Cam, about our tendency in this country through our media and through our own kind of like identity as U.S. citizens of having to make things look pretty that aren't, and sanitize and glorifying things that we shouldn't.
You know, the sanitization is, I think, an important point for us to make, and that these, in fact, are military aircraft designed to kill people. And it's also that sanitization goes in the way it's described. They're Blue Angels. Angels are usually associated with something benign and helpful, and in a religious sense, but also just in a sense of somebody's looking over you, that sort of thing. So it's a gross perversion of the word to use them as angels, and which they are angels of destruction is what they are. It's a good also point is talking about the, Kev was talking about these, and maybe you can follow up on that, but the military aircraft don't have any sort of EPA sort of restrictions. They're not like civilian aircraft. So those jets are dirty, you know, and they burned JP4, I think JP2. But we're talking about those afterburners. When they hit those afterburners, you know, half of that fuel isn't even burned. They just, you know, it all ends up being dumped unburned fuel on the ground. You know, I saw that sort of thing as far as jet aircraft a number of years ago when I was down watching the C-141 Starliners, which is a plane that is contemporary with a B-52. Watching it take up and landing in Tacoma in the airfield, and you could see takeoffs and landing, and you could see the after they took out and they hit their afterburners and that unburned fuel, you could actually visually see it dropping down. It was like a rain curtain coming down. So there's a lot of fallout, literal fallout from these jets. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, I'll chime in on that too, because you're absolutely right. When I was out there in, as a 15-year-old boy enjoying all these noisy jet planes go overhead, I also could smell the jet fuel. Sometimes it was strong and pungent in the air, the burning jet fuel, the smell of the jet exhaust. I was that close to not realizing that that was a health hazard too. And speaking to Mary about moving the veterans down from to from the upper floors during the Seafair Week. I'll do a personal commentary on that. I did do research, and I believe the Blue Angels started performing in 1972 at Seafair in Seattle. If I recall correctly, we've seen that, which it turned out was the very year I moved to Seattle. So my first summer in Seattle, I was dismayed is the wrong word. I was really annoyed and wanted to get away from the Blue Angel sounds because the war was from two tours in Vietnam. The Vietnam War was really recent in my mind. I lived in a basement apartment. All it had was some daylight windows. So when the Blue Angels were doing their thing, and it just seemed to go on and on and on, because in addition to the shows, they were practicing and showing off and whatever. And the noise went on a whole bunch downtown Seattle. So I was in my basement apartment with the curves, with the blinds closed and everything else like that. But the sound still came into the basement. So I'm here to tell you that going down to the basement is not far enough to get away from that sound. And for anybody who it triggers traumatic stress, that's bad. And that's probably what it was doing to me. But PTSD wasn't even a word yet. So I was just kind of freaked out at the time. And so it is what it is. I'm so glad that we have a chance to talk about this issue because it's an ongoing issue. It's an issue that has to be addressed. There are so many things wrong about this that for the sake of entertainment, we're imposing so many costs on ourselves as individuals, on society, on our environment. It's just disgusting. And I want to say it's on the order of being obscene as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And it has to stop.
I mentioned the one of the triggers was moral injury. Moral injury is actually on the DSM manual of mental issues with the VA is considered to be a part of PTSD. So it is something that the VA treats and takes seriously now. It wasn't always that case, but I just say that, this sort of reaction to aircraft and these and military exercises like that goes back a long way. And PTSD was actually known by the military for a long, long time. It got the name post-traumatic stress injury during Vietnam. Incidentally, it was the Vietnam veterans who had actually taken over the VA by the 70s and 80s who actually made the VA acknowledge that PTSD was something that needs to be treated and was a big problem. Moral injury is part of that diagnosis now. And, you just have to think about it as a veteran, I was not a combat veteran in the sense that I was out humping the boonies with a pack or anything like that. But my job as an intelligence analyst and interrogator was to provide information to combat units so that they could go out and kill people, hopefully using information in my report. So, and often that killing was done with jet aircraft. So I was going to ask Mary, I just make the remark that some of my friends who are normally sort of progressive, if not lefty people, when I talked about the Blue Angels and I sort of have almost given up on this sort of thing when talking about people because I've ruined some nice gatherings when I talk about the fucking Blue Angels, and I use that language like that. Usually I end up swearing I can do that a lot anyway. But I mean, friends of mine who say, well, they're so pretty. And I, says, do you know what they're for? He says, well, they don't want to think about it. I think it's our job to make them think about this and hammer this point. This is militarism. It's about recruiting people, as you mentioned, Kim, into the military, and particularly the Navy. And as they admit, it is the best sort of recruiting device they've got. Because, as you say, growing up as a youngster, watching these beautiful, noisy aircraft, it's something that they want to be a part of, you know, without realizing what they want to be a part of, which is, you know, the sanitization of militarism and the sanitization of war and the machines of war.
Yeah, there was an interesting spike in response to that. One of our local papers, so there was this local coverage on TV, which was really good. And that segment from King 5 was, I think, my favorite of the segments that got broadcast. It was very well done and focused. But there was also a little bit of coverage in the local papers, including the Seattle Times, which started the whole thing off. But another paper that we have out here, the South Seattle Emerald, would normally have published an op-ed, an opinion piece by Glenn Milner, but the editor decided not to do that, but decided instead to write about his own nostalgia for the Blue Angels. And I don't mean that word nostalgia in a demeaning sense. And nostalgia is real, that we all have it for our, childhood memories, which are precious, which are treasures. The question becomes, in the face of reality, which is, you know, a thing that is so hard to embrace reality when we live in a culture of making things pretty and making things clean, and when they really aren't. But in the face of reality, we're in a climate crisis. We are globally, domestically, we are. People are not as healthy as they could be, especially the people who live on the flight path of the Blue Angels. That's where negative health impacts have been documented, especially negative health impacts there, because they already live near a major airport and the King County Boeing Field Airport as well. And they already live near the port and the I-5 interstate, where the pollution has significant impacts, not just asthma, but cardiopulmonary impacts. And even these 2.5 particles that are released as part of the pollution of aviation, that even can affect the brain and contribute to dementia. It's been linked to cancer. So this part of Seattle and King County is already negatively impacted. This is the reality, health, climate. And so we need to weigh our nostalgia, assess our nostalgia against those realities and say, you know, like you did, Kim, I guess. You know, you had fond memories as a child and a teenager of the thrill of these military jets flying. But we can change. We need to become realistic and assess what has been made to seem fun and pretty and exciting. This is how Seafair markets the closing Boeing-sponsored air show. Heart thumping, etc., are words that they use. You know, do these nostalgic feelings we have match the reality that we live in right now? And you know, I think any fair assessment say, no, they don't match. We must change our minds and our behavior. And the city of Seattle needs to stop permitting it. You know, not only the general population, you know, assess reality against our fond childhood memories, but the city of Seattle, which permits the show every year, needs to change its assessment as well.
You know, that's an important part, and I think the audience for that, and I've heard it more this year than on other years, it seems, is the environmental impact of jets like these, and that falls more receptively on younger ears. The older people are, you know, stuck in a sort of thing, like you talked about nostalgia and the Blue Angels and, you know, Seafair. Well, why would we want to change that sort of thing? But younger people actually do see and understand the idea of the impact of this sort of thing on climate and health. And it's an important point that we should continue to emphasize. It's really, really important. The younger, actually, we might have a generational change or younger generation becoming city officials, mayor and the council. And they might be actually, since they're the ones that actually issue permits to this, they might be more susceptible to arguments about the damage that Blue Angels is causing to the city of Seattle and its people. And they are actually the guardians, nominally guardians of a city of Seattle and its health, you know. An old Bruce and that sort of thing, you know, he's an old Chamber of Commerce type, you know, as were many of these older, they don't want to talk about this at all because it's controversial. Well, you bet your ass it's controversial because it's doing a lot of damage. But again, younger people were right to focus on that, and these issues of climate and health are something that we can make some headway with. And I want to thank you, Mary, for the work that you and the Anti-War Coalition. I look forward to your name on that roster. Dan, you got any extra comments?
Well, maybe just to sort of sum up where we're going with this climate action coalition is that, you know, we're pointing out all the problems and the damage and the problems with the Blue Angels. But in the end, we're asking that people reimagine what Seafair could be like without the Blue Angels, without burning fossil fuels, without the military recruitment, without the violation of family values, you know, and the all that goes with it. So we do kind of have a point where we're trying to get to and replace the Blue Angels with something else that's not burning fossil fuel, but would be entertaining for the public. And before the Blue Angels flew, there, you know, they did have different things in Seafair that were positive and not destructive. So it is going somewhere in a positive direction that we this coalition can be a part of.
So actually, what would be the formal name then for people to get in touch with this? We actually will put this information on our vfp92.org website, but it is formally the Say No to No to Blue Angels. Is that an organization name, Mary?
No, the organization name is the Airshow Climate Action Coalition.
Okay.
ACAC. We are on Instagram, however, as No to Blue Angels, if people use Instagram. And the young people use Instagram. They don't really use websites. But there, we do have a website. It's not the best website, nor is it the most up-to-date, and it's the Airshow Climate Action Coalition.
And the Anti-War Coalition, is that, that's the one you're talking about?
Yes, the Airshow Climate Action Coalition is, you know, that has that three-part message: health, climate, and anti-militarism, anti-overreach of the U.S. military. So, but people could also contact any of our organizations to become involved. VFP Dan Ellsberg Chapter, 350 Seattle, that's 350seattle.org, not just 350.org, but 350seattle.org. As I said, Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, although Dr. Brett Lebeck isn't on this call today, has also been very involved in this campaign to end the Blue Angels in Seattle, Extinction Rebellion Seattle, Resist U.S.-Led War Seattle. Those are some of the organizations that people could also contact to become involved in this campaign, because we are a coalition, you know, of organizations, not just an organization itself. But there is a website, Cut to the Chase, Mike, Airshow Climate Action Coalition. Okay. Yeah.
And I'd like to see this become a ongoing thing, not just Seafair, but actually raise awareness about this sort of thing throughout the year. Wanted to talk about military pollution, that sort of thing. Did you want to say something, Kim?
Yeah, just one postscript. It just occurred to me, the name Blue Angels, how ironic. When you think of angels, you think of an agent for good, someone that's going to come help you and save your life or anything like that. And that's not what these jet fighter planes are all about.
Right.
But that's all I had to say.
Well, we're just about out of time. If there's anybody further comments, thank you, Mary Cogan Patterson, for being on the show, Kim Hunter and Daniel Gilman. And my name is Michael Diedrich. I'm a coordinator, moderator of this Veterans for Peace Daniel Ellsberg Chapter 92 radio show, which is being broadcast, will be broadcast on KODX 96.9 FM. Go to the radio show, go to the shows, and then click down to Veterans for Peace radio show. We'll also archive this recording along with other recordings on VFP92.org. So let's see if it... That's about it for tonight. Any other last remarks? I've got a couple of seconds here. Mike McCormick, who curates this for the KODX 96.9, always berates me for being a little bit too short on material. So I think that's probably it. Mary, you got anything final to say?
Yeah, I can just underscore what you said about year-round organizing. We do that, actually, because it is a year-round project to... not only cancel the Blue Angels, but also to reimagine the closing weekend of Seafair, as Dan said, reimagine Seafair without the Blue Angels, and also in general to keep on raising local public consciousness in our decision makers and in our communities about the impact of the U.S. military locally, the reality of the U.S. military globally because of its fossil fuel use. And carbon emissions, but other things as well. Our local contribution to nuclear weaponry is enormous, and most people in Seattle do not know it. And the fact that we have a fuel depot just across the sound, the salt water from Seattle, within I think it's 8 miles or 12 miles from Seattle. There's a fuel depot there that's known as the gas station for the Pentagon. Enormous amounts of fuel are stored there in dangerously old tanks right on the water. That's just two examples of the presence of the U.S. military locally. A third one, and this is what I'll end with, Mike, is up on Whidbey Island, very close to Seattle, is the Oak Harbor base, and the Growlers fly there, and they have an enormous noise pollution that impacts even marine life, let alone the people living nearby. And those people living on Whidbey Island, are some of them are organizing to call out that fact of the growl. The growlers fly at the air show. Precede, they introduce the Blue Angels. So year-round or
you know, I would ask to sort of add as closing is you just have to get an idea of what the impact of militarism is on this community here. Just go down to the Air Museum in South Seattle and look at those aircraft there. And while there are civilian aircraft, there's an awful lot of military aircraft. In fact, I'd say most of the aircraft in there are military aircraft. So that's what people go down there and they see, oh, they're pretty aircraft. Well, these planes are made for killing, just like the Blue Angels. Thanks again.
Thank you.